One of the bravest posts I've ever seen out of Provo this week. This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
This week, we will answer whether the Pulitzer Prize was won by Sean Spicer, Oscar Munoz, or the Salt Lake Tribune. I'm Steve Urquhart on the right.
The Burn comes to town. Bernie Sanders in Salt Lake City next week. I'm Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. But first, this news. Good morning. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the Political Center. In the studio, on the political left, State Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning.
And on the political right, welcome to the studio, former state senator and global ambassador at the University of Utah, Steve Urquhart.
Great to be here.
Nice to have you on the show, Steve.
Thank you.
Have you listened to the show before?
I have, yes.
Excellent. That's the right answer, by the way.
You're the one.
You're the one. Steve, to give our listeners just a sense of what you've been up to the last since you left the legislature.
Sure. So I was in the legislature for 16 years from St. George, and I gave that up in September, and I started at the University of Utah as global ambassador. And so what that means is I get the privilege of helping define and develop the U's international programs and models. They currently have a campus in South Korea. They work with Ensign College in Ghana to offer a public health degree. So it's fun. I get to wake up and look at a map and figure where can the U do great things in the world.
Is it true that you're now a constituent of Senator Jim DeBacchus?
I am.
Are you a sorry soul or what?
No.
I mean, because he's on the political right, Jim.
No, I was super excited to be Jim's constituent, but every day I handwrite him a letter of some ideas how the state could improve. He never responds, so I underline, I circle, I highlight things for him. I send him clippings, nothing, crickets.
I'm sending everything to St. George, Steve. That's why you're not getting them.
Just one more thing on sort of the friendship, relationship, personal side of Steve Urquhart. You two served in the Senate together. You must be pretty good pals. I mean, Jim's good pals with most of his Senate colleagues. Is this right? I got this right?
Yeah, I would say I
There's some reluctance.
No. I was just going to say.
Don't be too effusive there.
I was just going to say I think Steve was my best bud there.
Okay.
You know, when I really didn't quite know what to do or how to do it or what to say or straighten me out on this, Steve was there. He's a terrific human being, and we miss him in the Senate.
Yeah, and I absolutely love Jim DeBacchus. I do, as a human being. I mean, in politics, he's wrong on everything, save one or two issues, but I love him as a person.
Well, so let's jump into the Beltway and talk a little bit about some things on the national scene that affect Utah. We have Jason Chaffetz taking a lot of heat for not investigating, the Russian connection with President Trump. His approval ratings, I guess, have been dropping. What's your read on that, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, Jason has a high-profile position in Washington, D.C., and he bangs hard on the drum, and that's his job. A lot of people, they take – I mean, as this poll shows, a lot of people take issue with Jason. And I think Jason, he embodies, for better or worse, Washington, D.C. right now. He's functioning very well in the place, has a high-profile position. He bangs hard against the Democrats. Jason doesn't hold back, and I respect him for that. I think he'll have no problems in his upcoming election, no matter what these polls show. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very skilled politician.
Jim, I don't know if you've seen the billboards, 48-foot billboards that are along the freeway between the Point of the Mountain and Provo.
No, I haven't seen them. They're out of my district. He doesn't hold back when it comes to Hillary and the $7 or $8 $40 million Benghazi investigations, but he absolutely holds back. He doesn't want to know if there's a traitor in the White House, Look, it's certainly possible that there's somebody that is feeding information directly to the Russians. You would think that's his job. Yeah. That's what his committee does, but he doesn't want to touch that because of the political implications. You know what? That's not a definition of somebody that's doing their job for America.
What are either of you hearing about our former Governor John Huntsman and when the likelihood is that he will be named ambassador to Russia? We still feel like we're in this holding pattern.
You know, I think they want to vet it. I think that they have had some backlash on a few folks that they wish they had vetted better. So I think these things just take some time. And, you know, Governor Huntsman has held prominent position before, being the ambassador to China. There shouldn't be any problem with the confirmation. I imagine that will be very soon.
How do you think he's sleeping at night, you guys, watching the buildup with the U.S.-Russian relations and the position he's going to step into?
Really one of the most exciting diplomatic positions in the world, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
On the other hand, I think it's a very, very, very bad sign that he hasn't been named.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is not a kind of administration that sits and labors and vets. I think that they're having serious second thoughts. It reminds me of the Romney period. And I suspect the only thing that's going to make this happen and is going to absolutely push it through is the chairman of the Finance Committee.
Uh-huh. That's where I was going to go next.
That the president desperately needs to get any tax reform more than life itself wants John Huntsman in Moscow and not in Salt Lake City over the next couple of years. So that may prove to be the redeeming feature of Huntsman heading to Moscow.
So meanwhile, you have Senator Hatch now telling a local TV reporter that he's in, that he plans to run again for an eighth term. I have this right? And I don't know. Steve, do you know his age at this point?
83.
83 years old. Third in line to the presidency. Has all of the Secret Service protection that you would expect for someone in that position. Steve, give us a reaction from the right to this good senator throwing out all the signals that he's in for another term.
You know, I mean, I publicly flirted with running against Hatch, probably, you know, a dozen years ago. And, you know, I learned he's a tough, tough competitor. And I think that's part of the reason he said had such success is he is tough. He's scrappy and, you know, he used to do some fighting. You look at fighters never know when it's time to hang up the gloves. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Ali, look at a lot of the great fighters. Mm-hmm. They like to fight. Mm-hmm. That is their life is in the arena. That is Senator Hatch's life is in the arena. And so I think that's great that he's not about to hand it over. Someone is going to have to steal the crown from him. And, you know, I think that's to his credit. And we'll see if someone steps up and wants to challenge him.
Yeah, yeah. Jim, you want to say anything more on that?
No.
Okay. Let's jump. This is not really a Utah connection, but I want to hear what you think. Such an important week in foreign policy as the Trump administration attacked the Syrian airbase. Boy, the geopolitics of 2017 are proving to be a formidable challenge to this country. I worry about it on the economic front, Jim.
You know, nothing happened in Syria. Mm-hmm. You know, all the kudos, I'm afraid. What makes me nervous is that's the first positive feedback this president has had in his first 100 days, and it's for sending off bombs probably to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. There was no Americans at risk. And yet the wave of warmth has come back. Look a little further east. That's the serious situation. We have an aircraft carrier headed toward South Korea. There's nuclear weapons. There's a complete crazy man there who has his finger on dozens of nuclear weapons. Seoul is less than 50 miles from the border. That is a situation, and I don't feel comfortable having this inexperienced team there making these decisions.
Is there any part of you, Steve, that wants to defend this president in terms of his foreign policy? You know,
yeah.
I want to say his foreign credentials and temperament, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, Syria, the refugee problem, all of this happened because President Obama was very weak.
Mm-hmm.
He left the region, did a pivot to Asia, which Asia didn't greet with any kind of warmth, created problems there. I think that what President Trump did, he executed plans that had been in place for President Obama. He took out planes from the airfield where the attacks were launched. China took note. The world took note. This was a good thing.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, in our next segment, we're going to talk about the Salt Lake Tribune winning a Pulitzer Prize. Stay tuned.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Steve Urquhart here to correct Jim DeBacchus.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. Guys, I want to talk for a minute about this United Airlines situation. I spent a little bit of time in public communications watching the PR of this. Oh, my goodness, what a miserable corporate public communications problem, policy problem.
I don't think it's a PR problem. I think that the rules are so absurd. You know what? You want to play the game, airlines?
Yeah.
I understand. You got 200 seats, and routinely you have 15 people don't show up, so you overbook it by 15 or 20. That's what the algorithms say. You're playing the game with people's lives. So you know what the regulation ought to be? It ought to be the stewardess stands there and says, all right, $500 to get off. All right, 600. Uh-huh. All right, 700. If it goes to 10,000,
it has to.
It goes to 10,000. This is a ridiculous situation where you paid for a reserve seat, you're sitting there, and they're pulling your hair out for a seat that's yours. Whatever Rule 5 says, it's absurd.
Steve, I'm guessing you don't disagree with the good senator.
How can you disagree with that? But I'll point out that that is Delta Airlines policy.
Yeah.
Delta, they keep bidding until someone gives up a seat. They don't bloody them up and drag them out.
That's not the policy.
You know, I mean, this United Airlines, if I can say this on your show, United Airlines is just a bad idea. Uh-huh. And it merged with Continental, which was an awful airline. And so, you know, it's just a poorly run airline, and this is a manifestation of that.
I commuted to D.C. for 9 months, and I remember what it was like to be on the plane coming home for a concert of your kids or a ball game of your kids. I mean, if they had randomly picked me to pull me off that plane in a situation where you're this commuting mother, no way.
But you were probably flying Delta, and Delta doesn't do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah, I sure was. How about our president's spokesperson, Sean Spicer, just totally rolling in futility.
Can I defend him?
Well, you can try.
Oh, please. I was thinking that would fall to me. Yes, Jim, defend him.
Look, you know, I got what he was trying to say. So you get up there every day for 20 minutes or an hour and the world, and apparently now it's quite a thing. There's 4 million people watching him, which is a lot more than used to watch the Obama people. And he screwed up, all right? What he meant to say is that the Nazis weren't dropping planes with gas, and he screwed it all up, but goodness knows, if I were judged by every line that I ever said in every situation, it wouldn't go well. And
There's just a basic rule of being a spokesperson that you don't ever talk about Hitler.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. It's just not a good end.
There's never a good Hitler.
Okay. Steve, what would you say? I mean, do you think he'll survive this at all? You think Spicer's gone?
Well, especially if you're trying to say, you know, this guy's even worse than Hitler. I mean, you don't bring him up, you know. He shouldn't survive it. He really shouldn't. He is bad. He's not good at what he does. And then something like this. I mean, this is – I love – one of the reasons I love watching Jim in the political arena is Jim just says it. And so if you're just saying it and you're animated, you're going to say some things that, you know, they come out wrong or they don't make sense. And, you know, Jim as a human being is able to say, yeah, wow, what was I thinking? I didn't mean that. And Spicer just was unable to do that until, the third clarification, which was, yeah, I'm dumb. Sorry.
Oh. Oh, sad. Tough thing. Okay, here's someone who is good at what they do. Salt Lake Tribune wins a Pulitzer Prize for their investigation of BYU's rape culture and honor code policies, as well as some rape issues at USU as well. Wow, that was big news for this town.
I think that's one of the biggest things to happen in our state since the Jazz won the championship.
What
I mean,
a
you
lift
know, it is really
for the Tribune after what they've been through.
Yeah,
and to think that Jennifer Napier Pierce and Paul Huntsman have that in their first year. I realize it's
and Terry Orme. It started under Terry.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a terrific, amazing, wonderful thing for our state.
These are good, hardworking people. They're professional journalists. Even when they were reporting on me, it's just so fun to sit down with them and say, you know, let's talk about what you wrote here. Where really is the story? And they're always trying to hone their craft. And you know, and understand. I mean, this is an absolute compliment. The only thing that surprised me about them winning for this story is, to me, it was like, okay, it's just another Tribune story because they consistently cover things this well. I mean, it's not like this really stood out that it was a cut above everything else they do. They're consistently great. But this is a very important issue, what's going on campus, and I think that probably had something to do with it. Very timely, very important.
Yeah. Two quick comments, Natalie. First, thank goodness we have two newspapers, because let's admit it, the Deseret News would never have run that story. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wouldn't happen. It's not, it's just in the nature of
things. They can do other things really well, yeah. But they're conflicted when they cover their owner.
They're not going to do that. The second thing is, there's something hanging out from this Tribune story. And that is, the Utah County Sheriff was feeding confidential police information to BYU security, which was then turning it over to the Honors Code people, and they'd been doing that. And there are stories that it is in a lot of Utah County police agencies. So it was turned over to the Utah Department of Public Safety. And I think they're totally conflicted. They've been studying it for a year now, and I don't think they have the guts. They're political appointees. Their director sits in the cabinet of the governors from Utah County. Nobody wants to say anything about BYU. I don't think there is the guts or the political will for the Utah Public Safety Department to actually tell the truth. We need to know, were they doing that? Is it a violation? And what are we going to do in a continuing basis to make sure that confidential police information is not turned over to a private school to be used in disciplinary actions against their students? And that is still hanging out there.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, Jim, I don't want to give you the microphone for too long, and we'll let Steve jump in as he wants to. But we get Senator Bernie Sanders in town, I guess, next week. He's bringing the newly elected Democratic Party Chairman Tom Perez. That's big to be on the map for the Democrats.
It's
get
cool.
A visit.
And we did get, you know, 7 or 8 states were selected, and we're one of them. I think it's pretty much mission impossible. I mean, I've been around these Bernie people a lot, and they are not yielding. There's not going to be a peace and harmony and love that I can see.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a rough ride.
Steve, have you ever met Bernie Sanders, or do you have children that are in the Sanders camp? I'm assuming you're not representing the right Ryan people.
You know, he fascinates me. I disagree with a lot of what he says, but I love listening to him speak. He knows how to make a point. There are points that should be made. And yes, my second daughter, she felt the burn big time during the campaign. And like a lot of folks, she did vote for Hillary, but she had a tough time moving that direction.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that'll be fun to hear more about.
What about your kids, Natalie?
You know, I have this interesting thing where my daughter and her husband they lived in New England, and they were in the burn. But then they went right over to Rand Paul after that kind of fell apart. And I'm just like, how do you do that? But that's something you get with the millennials.
Yeah, and, you do. And they don't see any contradiction in it. God bless them.
Yeah, and I think I'll let my kids have their own say, I guess. It won't characterize them on air. Hey, how about Tesla? Still out of luck in Utah. Steve, I don't know if you were still in the Senate when this issue was being debated, but state Supreme Court has upheld a ruling prohibiting car manufacturers from selling cars directly to consumers. They require a third-party dealership. It's really strange in a state that is anti-regulation to continue to have this regulation. And I drive almost every day by the Tesla State Street lot. Beautiful dealership there, and not much happening.
Well, I don't think Utah is anti-regulation. I think that Utah is very pro-business, and at times that becomes pro-corporation, and which can be anti-competition.
Or pro-your business.
Yeah, pro-big established businesses to the legislators and, you know, against the upstarts like Tesla who have a different model. I think that, you know, this clearly is a condition of the dealers having their say, having sway over the legislature, where Tesla by law is not allowed to come in and disrupt. And that's unfortunate. I think that you look at all the disruption that's going on in the marketplace that almost always benefits consumers, and so ultimately this harms consumers.
Any comment on the legal side of this? I mean, the Supreme Court, you know, obviously isn't making the law, but they're saying you can basically do this. You can prohibit.
Yeah, they got it right. I mean, it's just like, you know, dealerships, they also have a Sunday close law.
Mm-hmm.
They can pick their day, Saturday or Sunday, but they all pick Sunday to close. And, you know, there's no real justifiable reason other than that, other than they want a day off and they don't want, you know, upstart competitors work 7 days a week. And so you can do these laws. So I think the Supreme Court, they don't make policy. They interpreted it. And unfortunately, this is the correct interpretation. You can have franchise laws, and they can protect the franchise system.
Jim, anything on Tesla?
It's hard. I mean, I was Mr. Gung-ho, and then this is really the only time I've ever really been smashed by the lobbyists. But, you know, they're in the community. Uh-huh. They're there, all these uh-huh. local dealers, uh-huh. and they're saying, look, you know, we put $15 million
here.
In here,
yeah.
and this is, we blah, 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 and these guys will all come in, and then if this starts working, then Ford is just going to start running in here, and what about all the things they made us do, and it's a little more complicated. But on Sunday, I'm going to put a bill in that removes that.
Uh-huh.
Why should Larry H. Miller couldn't sell cars on Sunday, just like he wouldn't go to jazz games. And he said, "And all right, fine, but selling cars on Sunday is a big business. So rather than do it on Sunday to make it too obvious, the legislature went and said, well, you can take off Saturday or Sunday. Well, Saturday is the biggest day, and to allow a law like that, because one guy doesn't want to sell them on Sunday and prohibit basically everybody from doing that, that ain't right.
Yeah. Steve, we don't always get a chance to have you on the show. I wanted to hear you comment about Governor Herbert's high approval rating. You feel like it's deserved? What kind of commentary would you give on our good governor?
The people like him. I think that what most people like is they don't want government to get in their way. They just want to live their lives and just not be bothered by government. And Governor Herbert kind of fills that role. He's not an activist. He isn't very aggressive on many policy things, and the legislature makes sure that the bills are paid and the lights are kept on, and we just keep moving steadily forward.
Yeah. Jim, any comment on Governor Herbert at this point?
He's a dithering unleader who just is out there, and
I just have to give equal time, but that comes on.
He doesn't disrupt anything, and people think, well, he must be doing something. He's not. He's not managing the state well. It's a mess into it. That's my opinion.
I will speak up from the political center and say that this Friday, the state has the governor's economic summit. Governor Herbert will go to that summit in our state's eighth year of economic expansion. Our job growth rate is higher than our unemployment rate. Very kind of flipped thing, right? You usually think of unemployment rates 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%, 8%. Right now, our job growth rate is higher than our unemployment rate. He's got that going for him.
Well, that would be nice, but are they well-paying
jobs? They are.
Jobs
wages are on the rise.
And the second issue that we have is, if this is the greatest economy in the history of Utah, then why are we still 50th in education spending? Because the whole idea behind a strong economy was, when we get this economy roaring, we're going to be able to pay for our kids. Well, you know what? If we have the greatest economy in the history of the world right now in Utah, why are we still 50th?
Yeah.
Let me give the Republican perspective on this. I think that the employers, the employees, the people who are out working, they probably deserve a lot of credit for this. I think that, you know, Utah government, in terms of the economy, it succeeds in staying out of the way. So this credit for our booming economy goes to the people of the state, not anything that government is doing. Now, there might be some good things government's not doing, but this credit goes to the hardworking people of this state.
That's good. Jim, your gripe. We're to the moment of big gripes.
Okay, I will go with Tanner Mangum. The BYU quarterback who had one of the most courageous posts I have ever seen in the history of Facebook.
Yeah.
This strapping football player and a quarterback talking about his mental health issues and his depression. A terrific moment, a bright, brave kid. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I'll be a BYU fan, but I'm certainly a Tanner fan.
Yeah, great. Good to hear.
That's my gripe.
Steve,
that's a gripe?
Sometimes he'll do that, and it's okay because Mangum deserves that. But what do you want to say, Steve?
Okay, well, I have a real gripe. I'm going back to United Airlines. So the man gets dragged off the plane, and if you've seen the video, people are screaming, they're yelling, huge uproar on Facebook. I mean, people are just incensed by this, okay? I mean, I've been kicked off planes before. I've been kicked out of restaurants. I got kicked out of church once. People were happy about it.
You have to do something pretty bad to get kicked out of church.
People were happy about it. They even applauded. So that's my gripe.
Oh, boy, goodness. You know, I have been watching the homeless services a location decision with interest, and I think our community would like a few do-overs in that. I'll just say that. But I decided my gripe is that we let the Rio Grande situation get as bad as it got. In other words, everyone wants to point fingers at, you know, this mayor, that mayor, whatever. But the truth is we have like 15 years, at least a decade of kicking this can down the road and letting it get to such a terrible situation that I feel like, you know, the burden is on a lot of leaders' heads. That's my gripe. Any quick comments on that?
South Salt Lake gets the shelter. Thank goodness we have leaders like Ben and Jackie and Hughes and the rest of them that have been in there.
Palmer DePaulis and Gail Miller.
Yep. Thank goodness they're out there, and hopefully this works. If not, we're going back to Plan A.
Yeah. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I've been joined by Steve Urquhart and by Jim DeBacchus. I'm Natalie Gochner. Program's produced by Ross Chambliss. Thank you for listening.